You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Speaking of, by the way, speaking of somebody fucked themselves, the horrible headline in the Edinburgh Evening News: court told woman forced batteries up Preston Pan's man's backside. Two women are to stand trial accused of assaulting a man by inserting batteries into his anus.
I am struggling to see how that, like how, like I don't know how women could force batteries up my bumhole.
Well, just they want. They just one would pull you down, the other one would stick them in. I mean, it's not difficult to imagine.
No, but I think I could fight off two women that wish to place energy devices up my bum.
I don't know, man. They must be really angry.
Unless the two of them were like the same size as China.
Imagine being so angry with someone you want to shove a battery up their arse. At what point had the relationship broken down to the extent that you wanted to get your mate involved?
Is this the intro to the show?
Welcome to Thursday's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am Craig Fowler, and on today's show I am joined by the lower league heavyweights themselves. It's Mr. Sean McGuigan.
Hello.
And Mr. Craig G. Telfer.
Hi there.
Hi guys, how's it going?
Fantastic.
Well, I think it's quite odd that we are on, this is the first podcast the three of us all have done in, I reckon, a year, more than a year, and it's a lower league special, and we're doing this on the back of the weekend when there was two matches in the whole of the lower leagues we're on, one on Friday, one on Saturday.
And both were nondescript.
Oh, they were dreadful games.
Oh, that Hearts game was a fucking, I turned it off before the end. Just had enough.
Oh, you shouldn't have done the last 15 minutes, were excellent.
Say this, Hearts pound for pound are the worst side I've seen this season.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Worse than Brechin.
Aye, worse than Brechin. At least Brechin have got the excuse that they're all full of young boys, but Hearts, given their, like I say, pound for pound, horrible to watch.
Yeah, it's between Hearts and Hearts, Aberdeen and Celtic in terms of what little they're getting in terms of value for money for how much they're paying for their squads.
Hearts, £450 for a season ticket.
I wasn't meaning that, I was meaning what they're paying the players.
Oh, right, okay, well.
I think Celtic fans are maybe more angry than Hearts fans.
I suppose that at least you've got, at least you, it's all a means to an end for you though, isn't it?
Yeah, aye. That's kind of what makes it more boring. You can't even really get that, you can't even get your usual kind of football kind of anger about things. It's more a kind of boredom and apathy because, well, I mean, we draw with Queen of the South, it's a bit embarrassing, it's a bit frustrating, it's very frustrating, but at the same time, it's like, what are we, 13 points clear or something?
Well, just wait until Raith Rovers catch you up. That'll be exciting.
I mean, I wouldn't mind if you got close, just so, something to, get excited about.
Well, that might happen.
Yep, won't. Right, let's. So, struggling to come up with topics for today's show. So, instead, we decided to dip into what was left of our mailbag questions for our Patreon series.
Not even the good questions, the ones that are left over.
No. To be fair, I had left over a couple of these, hoping to get you and Sean to do one. And then it just kept slipping my mind when you were free, so I was getting you to talk about movies instead. But we've got some now, and we'll run through them. Apologies to whoever sent in this first question, because I've taken a screenshot and cut off your name. But it's a decent one, and it is, who is the best part-time player that's played Scotland who's never played in the full... who's never played full-time?
Can I go first with that one?
Yes.
I think it's, for me, Thomas O'Brien.
I went exactly the same.
As far as I'm aware, I don't think he started off at Cowdenbeath. He was a central midfielder at Cowdenbeath and graduated to a very good defender at Forfar Athletic, and has just got even better under Tick Campbell at Arbroath. And I've seen a lot of comments when he plays that people are like, oh, I can't believe Tam O'Brien's never gone full time. But from what I understand, is that he does okay outside of football. And I'm sure I've been told that it would take a ridiculous offer for him to even consider going full time. I think I was quoted about £1,000 a week is what it would take for him to go full time. So unless he's getting that like a Dundee United or a Premiership team, he's probably not going to get that anywhere else in the Championship. So Tam O'Brien for me, great player.
An obvious answer, but the best answer. I think he's one of the best centre halves in the Championship, and he could probably do a job for a half decent team in the Premiership as well. But as Telfer said, I think he has a decent job out with football. So full time football's loss is Arbroath's gain, and Forfar's and Cowdenbeath's.
It's actually quite a tricky question to answer, though, because I think there's a lot of good part time players who may have started out at full time sides.
Yeah,
like even as teenagers before going part time. So that's a very difficult question to answer. But I'm sure Tam O'Brien has been part time all his days.
You could probably just discount guys who were at full time clubs and never played, like guys who like the it seems like there's countless...
Ryan McCord.
Yes, it seems like there's countless players who have like.
Okay, well, then you're going to have to count Tam O'Brien, because he started off his youth career at Dunfermline. Moved to Cowdenbeath. He moved to Cowdenbeath in 2003, so he'd have been in his early teens then. So I suppose that doesn't count as much.
Aye, yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine as an answer. Any other guys you want to mention before we move on to the next question?
No, because he was literally the first person I checked, and I had it in my head he may have been at a full time team, and he hadn't. So I was like, well, that'll do for me, Thomas O'Brien.
Telfer, were you the same?
Yeah, I was the same as well. Yeah, there's some great players playing part-time football, but I think that they'd at least have a couple of games. I was thinking of Ricky Little there, but he started off his career at Partick Thistle, barely kicked a ball for them, right enough, but he was a full-time player and has played full-time football for them. But nah, it's Tam O'Brien, smashing player.
Right, let's move on to the next question, who comes from Duncan Cameron, and it is one close to our hearts. Surely it's about time for a reboot of A Shot at Glory. Now, he's asking us to redo the casting for a modern-day version of it. So we need a few different guys here. Do you want to start with the Hollywood guys, or do you want to go to the footballers?
Well, I think the big question, who plays Jackie McQuillan?
Yes, it needs to be... Who's playing him? You're thinking Ally McCoist.
Very difficult.
Yes, somebody with good looks and charisma. It's going to be hard.
I mean, it's Ally McCoist is... I think there was a video that was posted on Twitter of him speaking at Davy Cooper's testimonial for Rangers, and it's like a best man speech. Ally McCoist is brilliant in it. He's just so handsome, so much charisma, and I just don't think there's anyone else playing in Scottish football that can possibly match that. I'm trying to think of like nation sweetheart players. I'm thinking of like Ryan Christie after that interview he gave when we beat Serbia, but that was nice rather than that sort of cheeky chappy vibe. So it was only cheeky chappies like Jason Cummings, and even then he'd smash up your house and just like and laugh about it.
So I went down a slightly different route. I thought to myself, right, there's a love scene in the film, and if you wanted to have a love scene in the remake, then you need somebody who is comfortable being naked in a room full of people. And so I thought James Forrest. Do we have to say allegedly here? I don't know.
We don't.
It was definitely. Somebody else has been comfortable in a room full of people. I'm trying to think, love scenes. Do we know any players like Paul Jewell, I suppose? But he's English, so it doesn't necessarily count.
Still one of my favourite tabloid stories of all time when they had a kind of still from his porn film and the Derby County badge over his genitals.
Imagine being the chairman reading that. Your club badge, your pride and joy.
two pages of football and porn play on words. It was incredible. One of the best tabloid stories I've ever read.
Well, see if we can't get anyone who's got the combination of charisma and looks, who, if we could split their personalities, whose looks would you want and whose personality would you want then?
Stuart Armstrong.
Yes.
And
lovely hair.
Would it just be somebody like Jason Cummins? I'm trying to think who else stands out in terms of like personality.
Is there a more confident Scottish footballer than Jason Cummins? Probably not.
I was actually thinking for an actor, it would be a lot darker film. It'd be a very angry man. Like
Jackie McQuillan origin story.
Beating up a lot of people, I was thinking Alan McGregor.
Oh, aye, that's too dark. That's too dark.
This is supposed to be like the Scottish equivalent of the Mighty Ducks here. You know?
It's light-hearted entertainment.
I've turned it into You Were Never Really Here.
I don't want to watch Alan McGregor telling people to fuck off.
I think I would go for, in terms of the looks, you kind of, it's an easy one, but Craig Barr, the Count B centre back, you know, sort of
very handsome.
Very handsome, nice hair. Maybe Craig Watson at East Fife. Handsome man.
Massive Tory.
Aye, but well, he can still be a Tory and good looking. And luckily for Craig Watson, he's both of those things. Got lovely smoky eyes.
We need the other footballer we need is a Scottish player to take on Ian McCall's place as the Queen of the South. I pumped your wife, villain.
Yeah, I wanted to go down the route of a bad egg in Scottish football, and I think Declan McManus is just it just has a horrible ratty face. It just looks like a bad egg. I can imagine him saying, "I've pumped your wife."
Could you imagine if we were to remake The Descent and you wanted people to play those sort of like underground creatures?
The infrared vision as it pans round the six or seven women that have went into that cave.
And it's just a boy in a Dunfermline top.
And then Declan McManus, requiring no makeup whatsoever, and you would let out a high-pitched squeal as the camera pans round to him. He's a spitting image of that now, I think about.
It's Ali Love as well has got quite a woodland creature face, like a wee goblin or hobgoblin. What's the difference between a goblin and a hobgoblin?
I don't know. I'll have to Google it.
I think, a bad egg, a Declan McManus, somebody who just winds people up. Bobby Barr.
Not my shout. Right, we need some actors as well, some actual actors. So we need somebody to play Gordon McLeod, an aging Hollywood legend.
Or Brian Cox.
Oh, that's a good shout, actually.
He's
actually speaking a Scottish accent as well.
Yeah, trying to think if there would be anyone else.
We need somebody to play Michael Keaton. Or his part, is what I should say.
Well, I see, in terms of Michael Keaton, I thought somebody who has experience as an actor and experience as a football club and is clean cut. So I thought Ryan Reynolds, because he now has experience with Wrexham.
Too handsome. He doesn't have... See, Michael Keaton at least had that sort of demented, like that sort of that wild look about him.
But I think Ryan could, not comb his hair for a couple of days or something.
Two has a demented look these days. Joaquin Phoenix. What's his name as well? Casey Affleck.
Too good for this. Too good for this. We need to lower our sights.
Michael Keaton, though, quite a big star though.
To be fair, yes. I mean, who was it? Peter Duval had won an Oscar. Is that right, for The Godfather?
Yes.
Yeah.
Robert Duval though, not Peter.
Who's Peter Duval? He's a golfer.
No idea. No idea.
What is it? Peter Duval is a Premier Mist. He's a key people. I've no idea who he is. There's no Peter Duval. Premier Mist. He's a CEO of Premier Mist.
That's what I just discovered.
I don't know. There's just no golfer.
Jean Duval?
No, there's a guy. For fuck's sake. This is great.
No wonder we never do podcasts.
I you know who I'd like to see it. What was the guy that was in The Muppets who played Tex Richmond?
I don't know.
No idea. The golfer is David Duval.
David Duval. That's him. Right.
Double D.
Chris Cooper. That's who I'd have played it. Chris Cooper was in The Muppets. He played Tex Richmond, the oil baron. That's who I would go for.
Right, so how about the young goalkeeper, a young breakthrough actor to play US goalie Kelsey O'Brien?
Tom Holland. Is that Spider-Man?
Yes.
Yeah, Tom, you know something, he's fresh-faced, he seems like a good laugh, a nice person. He has been Spider-Man, so is probably used to like jumping about. So I think he'd be decent for a goalkeeper.
One thing I would say, Sean, if you were to get me to describe what a goalkeeper looks like, it would probably be the opposite of Tom Holland.
But remember, this is a down-on-its-luck village team and they can't afford the best players. So a kind of spindly goalkeeper from the US might look like Tom Holland.
What's the guy's name who played Kyle in the movie Road Trip? DJ Quayles? I would have him as the goalkeeper.
He must be in his 40s now or something, you know?
I think so. I mean, when was Road Trip made? Was it 2000? Road Trip was made in the year 2000?
He is now 42, yes.
Is that the wee skinny guy?
Yes.
Yes.
He was very, very spindly.
I would cast DJ Qualls as the goalkeeper in this movie. He does because you're 42. I mean, you look younger. You know, it's like Fowler. I don't know, you know how...
John Burridge played until he was in his 40s.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. He's to play a young goalkeeper, but still...
Aye, John Burridge looked like he was in his 40s, or DJ Qualls, I don't know what he looks like recently. He looked very young in Road Trip anyway. He's my choice.
He looked very young 21 years ago.
When he was 21. He looked like a 21-year-old when he was 21.
He looked very young when he was young.
Are there any other, Sean, any other note or lower league jobbers to flesh out the Kilnockey squad?
Well, it's interesting you should say that. So the original Shot of Glory had Raith Rovers fleshing out the team. But the thing is, Raith Rovers now have two experiences of being involved in making films. They were involved about 5 or 6 years ago in making a zombie film, which turned out to be some kind of tax swindle. So it's never really seen the light of day. But the fact that Raith Rovers now have two experiences of making films, I would still involve them.
Good enough for me. Right, let's move on to the next question, which comes from Chris Rex. Now, this has already been answered on a Patreon by Joel and Craig, but since you guys are the two low league experts, we may as well get your opinion as well. And he actually mentions you in the message. Sean and Telfer particularly have spoken in the past about opening up the SPFL and making it easier for teams from the Highland and Lowland leagues to move into League 2. If you could design this mechanism for promotion and relegation, how do you think it should look? Telfer, you first.
Okay, the way I would do it, and I'm not 100% sure if this is viable, but the way I would do it, it's not too dissimilar to the existing system. I think that the team who finishes in 10th place should be automatically relegated, and they will go into either the Highland League or Lowland League, and that will be redefined... based on their location. So, for instance, if Stenhouse Muir were relegated, they would go into the Lowland League. If it was Elgin, the Highland League, and so on. That's not actually changing much, because at least one team's winning. It's still quite difficult to get out. Let's see. So,
Sean, would you like to save him?
Yes, please, Sean. Because the problem I'm having is just it's like I'm not really adding anything to changing it. We need to just, so it's easier for teams to go up. So maybe a promotion and relegation spot. Maybe you could expand the division, have the team that wins the Highland League and the team that win the Lowland League go up, and then a playoff between the second best teams that go up.
between the two divisions to go up, but three teams are relegated from League Two. Maybe, I don't know.
Just do it like the top flight and have a split.
Maybe.
I think there's a. do you know something? There's a few things I'm not overly keen on. So the fact that Brechin think that they will be utterly disadvantaged by going to the Highland League. So I don't know if they, because I think a divide is the Tay or something. It might not be anymore. But I don't know if that should be hard and fast. So if Brechin think that they would be better off in the Lowland League, then maybe it would be better if a team like that could go into the Lowland League rather than the Highland League, and we don't have this kind of geographical divide. Because let's face it, Brechin aren't in the Highlands. So I'm kind of worried about that in terms of teams getting relegated. In terms of the non-leagues, it kind of feels like there's a massive backlog in the Lowland League. So you've got the Highland League, which is obviously local, and then you have the Lowland League, but then underneath that, you have five divisions that feed into it. So you have, I think you have two East of Scotland leagues, one South of Scotland league, and maybe two West of Scotland leagues now that all feed into it. And I think you need to open up. I think you need to make it less fearful of teams getting relegated, because at the moment, teams are terrified of getting relegated. So you need to make it easier for them to come up. So whether you make it automatic promotion and relegation, two up, two down, I don't know. And I know, I think the non-leagues make it difficult. Like, obviously you had a situation where junior teams didn't really want to relinquish their junior status because of how many local derbies they had, and because they didn't have travelling to go. Or too much travelling to undertake. Like, one of my pals used to be involved with Thornton Hibs, and they weren't entirely comfortable with giving up their junior status, because a lot of their players work long hours, and then to kind of give up the bulk of their Saturdays as well to kind of travel back and forth, that was a big undertaking for them. Whether you can divide the non-leagues to North, the Highland League, South, East, West, and maybe have a playoff for the winners, I don't know. But you definitely need to open it up so there isn't as much fear for dropping out the leagues. But there's a bottleneck. There's a massive bottleneck with the non-leagues, and how you open that up, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was just about to say that there. That's one of the issues. It's about fearful for teams dropping, fearful for teams dropping down, but also you need to, teams who have entered the pyramid need to have faith in it and need to see it in action. Otherwise, you think, what's the point? The idea that a team like Pollock, for instance, could win the Premiership title, that's fundamentally what it's all about. And they need to see that there is, that the teams can move between the divisions. The bottleneck's not nice for anyone. I think it can be quite funny to laugh at Kelty Hearts like chucking incredible sums of money at a squad to beat a bunch of enthusiastic farmhands for the Vale of Leaving or whatever. but that you know something, that has to go somewhere. So I do have a degree of sympathy. If you're doing it in good faith that you can win promotion, then that's right and that's the way it should be, but not to spend tons of money. I think if you win a league, it has to count for something. You have to have something tangible at the end of the day, and a trophy is one thing, yes, but the promotion, the chance to move up, that is very important. I don't like that system that a team can win every game of their season, come to a playoff match against a team from, say, like the Lowland League, lose to them, and they don't have anything to show for it. That's a sticker for me.
Sean, you mentioned like the possibility of not having like the kind of Highland Lowland divide. But is that not kind of necessary once you get to a certain level in terms of, you know, the hours spent travelling for guys who maybe wouldn't even count as part-time in terms of, like, getting paid? And also, like, the cost to clubs as well for, you know, travel expenses.
I don't know if you necessarily need to have it at non-league level. I think we can improve the kind of bottleneck in the Lowland League. I know it's only just started, but the fact that you have the West of Scotland, the South of Scotland, the East of Scotland, it is all feeding in to the Lowland League. That doesn't feel like a long-term solution. Like, why do you have five divisions feeding into Lowland League, but just the Highland League just sits there on its own? I know geographically the Highland League probably has to sit there, But there probably is something that we can do to allow clubs to kind of save money in terms of travelling. And if you wanted to still have that playoff system, which honestly, I think playoffs are the most exciting thing in football. You could probably do something there to have north, south, east, west. I don't know, but I don't think five leagues feeding into the Lowland League is sustainable long term, because you'll have ambitious teams at that level that probably can't do what they want to do.
Okay, I think we've answered that long enough. Let's get on to the next question, which comes from Kevin Wilson in Telford. I think this one should interest you. With the rise in popularity of retro / one-off kits, e.g. Juve times Palace collaboration...
Yes, now we're talking! How?
Is this something Scottish football should do more of? And what is your favourite retro kit? Could be any team.
Well, let's first off the bat, Juventus are one of the biggest football clubs in the world. Palace would have no interest in collaborating with the likes of Partick Thistle, for instance. What I do like about that, we'll start by talking about that kit. That's one of my favourite football tops. I think it is an absolutely glorious piece of work. I think what might put people off by it is the slime green colour. It's got a luminous, the word Jeep is written in luminous green, and the bands that go around the sleeves are bright green and bright orange. But when you look past that and look at the stripes themselves, the way they fade up into the sort of clouds, the way that they merge together at the bottom, it's an absolutely fantastic kit, and I think that I don't think it gets the credit it deserves, actually, that Palace Juventus kit, but I absolutely adore it. I think it's an interesting concept, that the way that fashion and football is changing. I think when you see now, and this is particularly south of the border, when you see a team like Manchester United or the Arsenal Football Club are launching their kit, they tend to do it in two ways. They'll do it in the traditional way, where they'll get the players wearing it at the stadium, you know, with footballs under their feet, with the scarves on and so on. But they'll also do them like their loungewear. Like, I think that's, you're seeing that changing, the way that football kits are marketed. And I think we're a little bit behind that in Scotland. Although, going by the number of people in Glasgow, you see cutting around wearing like Celtic or Rangers casual wear. I might be wrong in that regard. I think that like Stonewaller magazine, for instance, that's something that they've done quite well. They did that with Air United and their kit launch. That was marketed more as, well, leisure wear, and sort of moved away from the traditional way that a football kit would be branded. And I think that was reasonably successful. It certainly stood out, just because there isn't really anything like that in this country. And I think for bigger clubs, certainly it's the way to go. I think for smaller supporters, smaller supported teams like my own team, Stenhouse Fear, the traditional way is still, when you see your favourite player wearing the kit, that's still a big selling point. But I think that there is, for bigger clubs, room to be a bit more creative with the way they're marketed. If I answered the question, or was I just talking shite there?
It's just, if you think, I mean, not necessarily Palace, but I wonder if there's any sort of kind of other kind of fashion brands could collaborate with Scottish teams, if possible.
Well, I could give you, so you could do joke answers, or I could give you like serious answers.
Which would you prefer?
Okay, why don't we go for a serious one? What about like Comme des Garçons, the Japanese fashion brand? Their logo is a heart with wee eyes on it, and that seems perfectly teed up to, of course, collaborate with Hibernian FC. I'm kidding on. Of course, collaborate with Hearts, for instance. You could have the heart, the Comme des Garçons logo, with the sort of like Heart of Midlothian written. That perfectly lends itself well to a collaboration. I'm trying to think of other brands. You could do, like, for instance, I think the closest we've seen to that sort of Palace Adidas brand that Juventus went for was a couple of years ago. I'm thinking it must have been when Paul Payton was playing for them, because I remember him modelling the kit. Remember Partick Thistle had that, it was like almost a pink and grey camouflage kit.
And it was hideous.
Yes.
No, I really liked it. I really liked it. I thought it was nice.
Well, everybody's different.
It's certainly a memorable one.
Home strips should be traditional. I think tradition's a good thing to have in football, and I think that home strips should pay tribute to tradition. Whereas the away strip, though, I think you can be really creative with your away strip. It shouldn't just be like the alternative colours. You should be able to go for something a bit wacky or something a little bit out there. And if Comme des Garçons, to go back to that, they were to collaborate with Heart of Midlothian, that would be a pretty cool kit.
What about retro kits? Any ones that any of you guys have got your eyes on? I've been kind of getting into the whole kind of getting football kits during lockdown. It's a weird phenomenon that I can't even quite explain myself, but I had two, I think, at the start of lockdown. Three, if you include that street soccer kit that we were gifted on a view for the terrace, and I think now I have 11.
Why?
I don't know.
When I buy clothes, is everything that I purchase is with the TV show in mind. So there's some things that I want to get. For instance, to go back to Palace, you're doing a collaboration with Stella Artois. That's coming out tomorrow. I quite fancy getting some of the stuff, but it's too wild wear on the TV
show. Please
do. So I can't get it. So that everything's with that in mind. So why spend a lot of money, because you've been updating us with your purchase, why spend a lot of money on stuff that you're very limited to what you can do with?
I don't know, it's just probably because I'm stuck in the house all the time, but I quite like wearing a football top in the house. It seems
so,
like...
So do I. I like wearing a football top in the house. What I am amazed at is retro football tops going at, like, well over £100 on eBay. I don't really understand that.
Well, the one I would want, and I'd have to get a pretty big bet up before I'd ever spend this, because it is £100, but it's the Sheffield Wednesday kit from 1992-93.
Oh, Chubba Chups. Who's the sponsor?
I think there might have not even been a sponsor that year. And yeah, it's kind of like...
David Hurst.
Aye, David Hurst. Major David Hurst vibes. Kind of thinner, slightly thinner stripes as well. It's very nice. That are kind of retro Sampdoria one, for Sampdoria for the 90s as well. But again, they're about £100.
So is £100, do you think, is that would you say that's too much money to spend on an item of clothing?
Yeah, I don't really spend that much typically unless it's something really kind of fancy, or like a suit or shoes. I spend a lot on shoes because I get a lot of pairs of CODs. But typically the only other kind of item of clothing I'll ever spend like £50 on is usually like a pair of jeans. So even with the football tops, I think the most expensive one I bought was the Sampdoria one. That was £60. But it's really nice, and I just wanted the Sampdoria top, and like I say, I wasn't wanting to shell like over £100 for a retro one. But the rest of the ones I've bought are mainly just about kind of £20 to £30.
Fucking hell, funny because you and I are on different waves, my boy.
See, in terms of Scottish retro strips, Dundee, as much as it pains me to say, Dundee have about three retro strips that I love. So kind of from about 1991 and maybe 1996, they had maybe two or three Sampdoria vibey strips that are just, they really are fantastic. They do... Albeit the dark blue, but with the kind of the white and the red band in the middle, and maybe a black one, and some of them, and they're fantastic.
I'm glad that you said 91 and 96 and not another year ended in 6, otherwise you were getting fucked right off this podcast.
Why would that have been an issue that I'm missing?
You're not...
Oh!
I thought you were doing that intentionally there when you were trying to goad me into it.
85, 86. No, I think they did have a nice strip then as well, but it wasn't Sampdoria-esque.
Telford, do you have any favourites before we move on to the next question?
Yes, I do. There's a couple, I think. I've got loads, incidentally.
We'll give Telford a shot first, then we'll go back to you, Sean.
Quite right.
Scotland's Italia 90 kit, I think that's glorious. Just think the shade of blue, the cut, the collar. Collars is something you don't see a lot in football anymore. It's more round necks or whatever. You don't tend to see buttons on shirts. I imagine they're more expensive to manufacture. But that Scotland Italia 90 kit is wonderful. And Dunfermline released it, I think it was a year or two ago. It was a kit was sponsored by Landmark. It was like white with sort of thin black stripes down it. Yep. Just a really, really, really nice piece of kit. And it just worked so well with the Dunfermline badge, that inverted triangle, that sort of the colourful little castle building on the front of it. I thought that was really, really nice.
So, Sean, what were the others you had in mind?
There was a Dumbarton strip from the 70s, which was white, a kind of gold and black stripe that runs along the middle, but they had, it was made by Umbro, so they had the kind of Umbro badge that run right down the strip. And I am a sucker for a strip that has a one stripe that runs down one side of the strip, if that makes sense. So Aberdeen in the 70s had a strip that was red, obviously a kind of wide collar, and then one kind of white band, but I think it was made up of maybe several pinstripes, which just run down one side of the strip, which is fantastic. And the only other one I wanted to mention was when I first started going to see Raith Rovers, and we were in the bottom tier, we played the Albion Rovers, and they had obviously a bright yellow strip with a red collar and no sponsor, and a red band that run right along the middle. And as a youngster, it was eye catching, and at that point, they were probably my favourite other team just because of their strip. It was a beautiful strip from the kind of late '80s, I would say.
Do you remember there was two boys with Albion Rover strips in an episode of Skins?
I don't.
No.
No, there were. It was the character Sid. It focused on a different character every week. The boy Sid, his father's played by Peter Capaldi, and he was being bullied by his brother, who brought his sons round, and they both had Albion Rovers tops on. I'll say that I popped. Just one more before we move on, Fowler. I actually think that the best kit we've seen in Scotland over the past few years was the Foundation of Hearts kit from 1415. I thought that was an absolutely stunning kit.
Good.
Just like I did ask, just mate, the three stripes were brilliant. The collar, the cut of it, no sponsor, the old fashioned badge, just absolutely perfect.
Yeah, that was
good. I don't know why it's about no sponsors that just make strips so much better. So I think Airdrie, for example, Airdrie have a classic design, that kind of white and the red V. But the fact they have a sponsor somehow ruins it every season. I don't know how, because they have such a great design, but no sponsors make a kit.
Yeah, definitely. Right, let's move on to our final question, which comes from Ross Quinn. And he says, pick a player from your rivals that you think would strengthen your team, and then pick a player from your team that would strengthen your rival. I'll go first on this one. I think that a player from Hibs that would strengthen Hearts, I mean, you could pick most of them, they'd end up being shite. Because any good player that signs for Hearts ends up being rubbish anyway. So, but assuming they don't immediately turn to guff, I'm going to go with Jackson Irvine. I think Hearts could really use somebody from the midfield. Andy Irvine's probably Hearts' best centre midfielder this season, but he's a stationary kind of number six who sprays the ball around. I think Hearts need somebody a bit more up and down, but also has the relevant quality, and Irvine would definitely come into that. He'd be a massive, massive upgrade on Andy Halliday, put it that way. And the player for Hearts that would strengthen him, kind of hard to say at the moment, the Hearts being so kind of shite since the Scottish Cup final. But I would say that Stephen Kingsley, because Hibs probably the weakest in their squad is on the left hand side of their defence, and Stevenson's still doing a job, but obviously he's not at his best. Doig's a decent defender, a very good prospect, but he's not quite there yet. I think Kingsley would be an upgrade over either of them. So Sean, what do you reckon?
So I have a good answer here in terms of improving Dunfermline but not weakening Raith Rovers. So far and away, Dunfermline's weak link is their goalkeeper. Owen Fawn Williams is just a bad, bad goalkeeper, and they will never get promoted with him. So Raith have two keepers in terms of Jamie McDonald and Robbie Thompson who are better than him. I really like Robbie Thompson. He seems like a good egg. He has a nice dog that he likes to put pictures up of on Instagram. He just seems like a nice person, and I kind of feel sorry that he doesn't get a lot of games for Raith Rovers. But you know something? Being a good egg doesn't make you better than Jamie McDonald, and he is a very good goalkeeper. So let's give Robbie Thompson to Dunfermline, which improves them, but doesn't weaken Raith Rovers because we have Jamie McDonald. And in terms of who we could take from Dunfermline to improve Raith Rovers, we, I think, desperately need a centre-half. And as much as there was a big hoo-ha and fanfare made of Ewan Murray at the start of the season because he scored, I don't know, four goals in five games or something, I said Paul Watson is actually a better defender. I quite liked him at Starks Park. He was probably Dundee United's best centre-half last season, and he would very much improve Raith Rovers. So that would be my choice.
And Telfer?
And I look at the Shire squad. I wanted to be a bit different. I look at the Shire squad, but nah, I didn't fancy anyone from there. So I'll take a look at Falkirk. And Stennis Muir this season have really struggled in wide areas. There isn't a lot of natural width there, particularly with Dave Irons wanting to play a 4-3-3 formation. He's playing guys like Greg Spence, who's a penalty box striker. He's playing him as a winger. So Callum Morrison would be the obvious one from Falkirk. I think his form dipped just before the shutdown, but prior to that he'd been excellent and far and away Falkirk's most exciting player. I think it was actually getting to the stage where it was just a case of give the ball to Morrison and something will happen off the back of that. So he's exciting, he can take people on, he's bold, he can whip in great crosses, which Mark McGuigan would no doubt gobble up. So yeah, Callum Morrison would be the person coming in. And the player that I think could improve Falkirk, I think it's centre-back where Falkirk are struggling. I think you can't really put your faith in Mark Dernan or Ben Hall. I think they're okay-ish. I'd send them big Craig Little. Craig Little is as meat and potatoes as you can get in the lower leagues. He is just a stopper first and a stopper last, and he is only content when that ball is as far away from our goal as possible. So I think he'd go in there if he's got someone who's a bit more nimble beside him that can run, maybe talk him through games, perfect. But he is very much a stopper. You need a stopper, there's nothing wrong with that. Said that a number of times about Craig Little. Nothing fancy about him, but don't necessarily need to be.
Good answer. Right, before we finish up this podcast, let's just get a couple of predictions from you guys. The lower leagues, League 1 and League 2, are not back yet. We don't know, frankly, when they will be coming back, but let's say that they do come back in March time and they're able to complete the season. Give me some predictions as to what you think might happen. Sean, you can go first.
I think Dumbarton and Forfar will get relegated from League 1, and I think Queen's Park will go unbeaten and they will get promoted with Stranraer.
Ooh, a couple of interesting shouts there. Forfar to get relegated and Queen's Park to win a league and stay undefeated kind of speaks for themselves. What makes you so down on Dumbarton?
Because one of their better players, if not the best player they had this season, was Kevin Dabrowski, their goalkeeper. And see, that's one of the problems that the kind of part-time teams have, is that their lone players have all been recalled because of the shutdown. And I think that'll affect, as much as Falkirk were struggling before lockdown, and I think they'll probably come out of this looking okay, because there's so many part-time teams have had those lone players recalled, and Dumbarton possibly more than anybody else will struggle after this.
Okay, and what do you like about Stranraer to pick them as the best team to come out of League 2 other than Queen's Park?
So Elgin generally make a pig's ear of it. So they've still, they're second at the moment, but they will make a pig's ear of it. I'm not sure about Stirling Albion and Edinburgh City. I mean, the fact that Edinburgh City are sitting fifth, you'd have to say that James McDonough's jacket might be on a kind of shaky peg. But Stranraer had a terrible start to the season, but they've recovered and probably look the best of the rest out with Queen's Park.
And Telfer, what's your prediction?
Yeah, well, I'll just back up Sean there. What he's saying, I really like Stranraer. I think that Stevie Farrell, they did well to stick with him. I don't think there was ever any, there might have been a bit of doubt, but there was never any real danger of him getting punted, and he's got them playing some right good football at times.
They went about 12 months without a win. I mean, there must have been some doubt about them, but fair play. They look the better for sticking with him.
Yeah, definitely. And they've signed well from the Lowland League. I think guys like Rory Payton and Tam Orr, who came in from BSC Glasgow and East Kilbride, irrespectively, so I got that the wrong way around, so that's why I said irrespective, they are good. Payton is the most exciting winger I've seen in the division, next to Jai Kitongo. He's more a fullback. No, he's a winger, talking shite. Anyway, what I think is going to happen, I don't think we'll see the leagues play again this season. I've kind of come
not,
to
not
terms.
There. No deal.
Come to terms with that. But I think that'll be the driving force for reconstruction. I think the Colt teams will rear their head again. However, I think that, it gives me no pleasure in saying this, but I think that the clamour to get the Colt teams in there might be a little bit louder. I think the clubs beneath them, I'm not sure how much influence the likes of Kelty Hearts and East Kilbride, etc. have, but if it's a case of allow it getting into the SPFL with Colt teams, They'll take that. But I want to, on record, I've said it numerous times before, I think Colt teams are worse than
Hitler.
Colt teams.
Ricketts.
Yeah, Ricketts, polio and Hitler.
Agreed.
Not for me, Clive.
Right, I think that'll do us. Guys, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you to everybody for listening. I'm going to pick one of these unlucky guys to act as host while I give my thoughts on two of last night's games in the Scottish Premiership. So if you'd like to listen to that, the address is patreon.com/terracepodcast. That'll be on the £2 a month tier. Guys, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
And I'm Craig Ferguson, goodbye. And if your game's lucky enough to go ahead this weekend, I hope you enjoy your football. Cheers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.